Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Open your hearts, loosen your butts. It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's
y'all, welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Naomi.
And I'm Andy.
And we are a real life couple.
A real life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we do whatever the heck we want. We in quarantine? Are we out of quarantine? Either way, honey, I'm weary.
Half of us are, half of us aren't. I'm hoping no one's in the audience is an anti-vaxxer.
The listening audience?
Yes.
I thought there was an audience in the house, but only you could see.
Yeah, the cats. I'm hoping neither the cats nor Mabel is an anti-vaxxer. Hey, honestly, though, we'll take anti-vaxxer bucks. You want to buy...
Bucks.
You don't want to get a vaccine, but you want to buy a t-shirt? I'll take it. I'm not going to stop you.
Mabel does have an anti-vax vibe, though. You know, it's part of her general Karen-ness, and also that idea that, like, you know, because for Mabel, you know, she doesn't want to go to the doctors. She doesn't want...
Every time she goes to the doctors, they cut her in half. That's why she doesn't want to go to the doctors. She has a great reason. Literally, every time we take her to the doctor, she gets either a shot of poison, chemotherapy is what I'm talking about. I don't mean literal poison. Or they slice her up and they take some stuff out.
I know that. You don't think that's what hurts me the most? Remember, I have to take her to the doctor? I was like,
yeah, it's emotionally painful to do it. I am with you, my love.
The point is, though, every anti-vaxxer has their reasons. Mabel doesn't realize that we're trying to help her, and this is why she is anti-vax. But
that's some real empathy for people who usually off mic we are screaming at.
Well, I think just because I think you might not be the brightest bulb in the chandelier doesn't mean I don't think you're trying to shine bright.
Wow. Hey, slap that on a t-shirt. Damn, that's Naomi. Hey, folks, when you're listening to this, when she's back on stage and we're all vaxxed and everything like that, you better go see gems like that, her drop gems like that in person. Damn.
Speaking of bright shining lights, can we please talk about our guest today?
Oh, my God, Naomi, who is our guest on today's wonderful episode?
The wonderfully talented actress Caitlin McGee.
Every time you go to, I assume you're gonna say the wickedly
talented Adele Zazim. No, Caitlin McGee. You know Caitlin honestly from so much, but right now you can watch Caitlin on both Mythic Quest on Apple TV, where your girl also hang out, and Home Economics on ABC. Okay, she's giving you broadcast, she's giving you streaming. Okay, you may have also seen Caitlin on the show Bluff City Law, on
Halt and Catch Fire, You're the Worst,
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I mean, girl is booked, busy, and blessed. And she's so fun to talk to.
Yeah.
She really became a friend over the pandemic. She is really into Marco Polo. So we polo a lot. And she understands anxiety, which is wonderful.
She was great.
She's lovely. I know. This is like your first time talking.
Yeah. I didn't really know her before this. And I just was captivated.
Captivated. I mean, hello, that's it. She is charm, she is beauty, she is grace. So, before we get to that, though,
Yeah, speaking of charm, beauty, and grace, speaking of captivating, Naomi.
We are raising money for Mabel again.
Yes.
Charm, yeah, beauty, and grace.
The vet bills keep piling up. So we thought, all right, Naomi did a show with Aparna and Joe, just like a stand-up show. Why don't we do another couples therapy show? And we're doing it May 22nd online at dynastytypewriter.com. I got to tell you, we got some great people on the show. Lacey Mosley is going to be there. Brian Safi.
Okay, he's coming through.
You with guys, a dramatic 911 moment.
We love every second of it. And you know the show. The tickets are 5 or 10, whatever you're feeling. You will be able to watch the show for a few days after it airs. It is Saturday, May 22nd, 6 p.m. PST, 9 p.m. EST. If you're not home on a Saturday night, you could still buy a ticket. You can watch it Sunday.
Yeah.
You can watch it Monday.
Yeah.
You can watch it Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I will say this. I will say this, Naomi.
Say it.
If you want to ask an advice question, because we will be answering advice questions,
absolutely,
we need you to send in a video of no more than 2 minutes to couplestherapypod@gmail.com. Now, you don't want to show your face? That's great. There's other ways to do it. Someone filmed their pet last time and they asked the question off camera. Another person, go ahead, Naomi.
Wore a mask.
I thought you were going to say another person bought a cameo from a friend of the show and friend in real life, Sam Taggart, and had him ask the question.
Exactly. You have options, okay?
Be creative.
And just keep them short, and we will have our wonderful, illustrious guests help us help you. Come on, couplestherapypod@gmail.com. Record it on your phone. Keep it nice and tight. We're here to help.
Naomi, before we actually get to the show, I wanted to play this for you. Someone called in, and I thought this was going to be an advice question. I was culling the advice questions the other day, and instead, they told us a dream they had. So I'm going to play that right now.
Hi, Naomi and Andy. This is Gretchen. I am a new fan of the podcast. I don't have a relationship question, but you guys got into my psyche real deep, real quick, because I have a dream to share with you. I dreamed that you were taking Mabel to Mexico for her upcoming surgery because it was cheaper. I don't know what you should do with that information, but I really enjoy everything you guys are putting out into the world every week. Best to everyone, including Mabel. Bye.
Is Gretchen a clairvoyant? I mean, maybe we should. Is she saying something? Is Gretchen the new Miss Cleo?
Did she watch the episode of The OC where the gang goes to Tijuana and Marissa overdoses?
No one recently watched The OC besides you, babe.
That's not true. That's not true. It's in everyone's psyche. They even started a rewatch podcast with Summer and Marissa's mom. I forget what the actresses' names are.
Summer and Marissa's mom.
Rachel Bilson.
I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
Melinda.
Carlisle. I'm just saying names now. I don't know.
People love The OC still.
Thank you so much, Gretchen. It's an honor to know that we are in your dreams.
Yes.
That in our dreams, Mabel also appears. You know, in your dreams, Mabel also appears. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Hey, we got out of your car and got into your dreams. Coming up next on WPTS 92.1 FM, we've got The Cars.
But before that, we got Caitlin McGee. So I'm going to say, roll it.
Caitlin, this is your first podcast ever on your own?
This is my first on my own for an extended period of time. I've done 15-minute drop-ins here and there. I did an NPR thing. I did an NPR thing with Sashir recently.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm a full podcast verge. I need to know how Mabel is though. I haven't gotten up to date on how is she doing? Is she still trying to jump on couches and take her stitches out?
Well, her stitches came out on Monday.
Yeah.
Stitches her out. Biopsy negative. No cancer.
So,
oh my God, that's amazing.
I know. And she still has to do chemo, but it's more now preventative as opposed to anything spread. You know what I mean? Which is very exciting.
Okay.
But she's still in her cone because she's not fully healed. And of course, all she wants to do is lick her crotch.
Yeah.
And yes, she has stitches down in her crotch. I mean, top to bottom. So she has to be in the cone.
Oh my God.
poor girl, but she, yeah, at least now she can jump on things without giving me a heart attack. That's much better.
Oh my God. Okay, that's better. She's on the mend.
Thank you so much for asking.
Thank you for asking. Wait, Caitlin, yeah. Sorry. I'm not privy to yes. the conversations you and Naomi have. So there's,
no, you're not privy.
There's information.
Yes, you're not privy. Not,
no, you are cohabitating. You are fianced.
You're unprivy. Yes, I am. I'm fianced. I hate that word so much. It sounds like bragging.
Yes.
So we call each other Beyonce's partner's ex-boyfriend, something like that, just because every time you say fiance, I don't know if you two felt like this, it sounds like I got something real big coming up. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, yeah. ask me follow-up questions, which I never want to yeah. answer.
Absolutely.
So, right. Absolutely. Yeah. So we are very much cohabitating. We got engaged during pandemic. So
wow.
We really like each other, which is surprising after all this time.
Yeah. This was a real test of everyone's yeah. relationships. If you came out on the other side of this with just like, you know, mild trauma, yeah. man, that's yeah. like, Naomi mild, and I, we're going to yeah. be together for like 50 years.
That's true. That's true.
If you guys can get through Trader Joe's together, I feel like you can probably get through anything.
Thank you so much. You know, that is the beach of Normandy. That is our...
that is our Saving Private Ryan. Saving Trader Joe's.
Saving Trader Joe's.
Saving Trader Joe's.
I mean, we haven't even been there now in like 4 months, and it's really upsetting me. I realize I feel off, and I'm like, oh, right, it's because I haven't been to grocery shopping.
Right. Let me tell you what I had yeah. for lunch. 3 Girl Scout cookies and a handful of pretzels.
That's perfect. It's a balanced meal.
We don't have
I had
groceries. Sorry, go on.
I had leftover chocolates that were sent to me and then some vodka in a Spindrift.
Wow. That's also a very holiday glass you have there.
I know. I felt it's Friday, so I wanted to celebrate. You know, I needed a bird on my glass.
Now, Caitlin, you came back from a lover's getaway in Lake Arrowhead. Can I say that on the record?
Yeah, I was in Idlewild, but it's similar. It's
okay.
just a little less bougie, but yeah, it's a similar vibe.
Now, what that kind of thing, you know, Andy and I, we're not really into nature, so I guess I'm kind of curious as to what happens there. Like, what did you do for the time? You went camping?
We did not. We sat in a cabin. There was a hot tub.
Okay.
So we just kind of like hot tubbed, took an edible, looked at the stars, okay. like that kind of vibe. I ate an entire block of cheese. We watched some Gilmore Girls. Like it was oh, yeah. very chill. There was very little nature. Gilmore Girls or cheese?
All.
Or
yes.
both. Those are Andy's.
With yeah. the exception of an edible, you hit every one of my, you know.
Yeah.
Even a hot, you know, I've never been in a hot tub.
You How had hot? It.
How? Is that true?
Yeah, why would I?
He's never been in a hot tub.
Right. Yeah.
I love my husband. He still discovers new things. You know what I mean? We can still go on journeys even after all these years.
But Gilmore yeah, Girls had some like
fresh.
Some aged coastal English cheddar. I mean, goddamn.
Mm. Yeah,
that's my language.
Yeah, this was an aged cheddar for sure. Ooh. It's a Dubliner cheese. It's got a real bite to it. Are you
oh, yeah.
familiar with Dubliner? It's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, I know about Dubliner cheese. I know about
I'm
Gilmore Girls.
Familiar.
I know about Dubliner cheese. I have some specific opinions about Gilmore Girls,
yeah.
specifically the last
Ooh,
season.
It does not age well, too. Have you gone back to the beginning recently?
No, I haven't. I've never rewatched it. I just remember enjoying
there
it.
There is, yeah, it is still very like a warm hug. You know, Stars Hollow is very charming. But there's so many Queer Eye jokes. Like, I don't know what, and I love Amy Sherman-Palladino. I've met her. I was in Maisel. So I adore her. I think she's a fucking genius. But there are so many Queer Eye jokes. And I think it was because that was the hot thing. But I was like, all right, we could maybe, I don't know, put a person of color in this show and lay off the Queer Eye jokes. Like,
yeah.
I really love it. But
the OC, I've been rewatching the OC lately, and there's also a mm-hmm. lot of like, there was, I don't know what it is about the early 2000s, but it seemed like the nation was going through its own kind of gay panic in the early 2000s, which was then dramatized through our popular
yeah.
dramas of the time,
yeah.
such as Gilmore Girls and the OC. And like,
yeah,
none
or
of it age as well. It
Friends,
didn't age, it probably didn't.
None of it.
Well, at the time.
No. Even at some things from just a couple years ago, I'm like, oh, we've learned. from then. Just a little.
A little. I know.
Yeah. It's really, it's a very tight butthole moment when you look at some old Friends episodes. It's like, yikes. Absolutely yikes.
Oh my God. There is a like gay joke about Chandler every 3 minutes.
Every 3 minutes. It's actually alarming.
It is.
It's ridiculous.
Well, because we watched it too on Netflix, and it's like, especially when you watch it back to back in that way, right? And we were like, Jesus Christ, which I think, I didn't watch it much when it was out. I feel like I didn't start to watch it till the end, you know, maybe season, I don't know, 47. But like, when you watch it all back to back, you're like, Jesus Christ, could they find a new damn joke in this writer's room?
It's real. And also, Ross having any sort of emotional vulnerability is immediately held against him. And he has this weird gaslighting shit that he does to Rachel. It's so fucking toxic. Well, it's crazy.
Well, Andy, we did a couple. One, he did do, what would you call it? An anthropological study or like a visual essay of every black person on Friends. He just like took pictures.
There's a Twitter.
You mean
thread.
The two?
There's a there's a lot. There's a lot of POCs on the show. So okay, until you get to like Aisha Tyler, I don't think anyone has more than like a one episode arc. But
yeah,
there are like I did a Twitter thread. Every time one of the friends either interacts with a black person. So talks to a black person.
They have they to
may,
have a
the black person may not have a line, but they like nod or their eyes open up wide or something. You know, they react to one of the friends.
Oh my God!
Or a black person is a extra or not an extra. What is like someone who has like one line?
Like an under five.
Moment.
An under five.
Yeah. An under five. Mm-hmm. You can find that Twitter thread, I suppose, if you look up. At Andy Beckerman,
I am
friends.
Genuinely gonna please plug your Twitter, and I am gonna go. Yeah, I'm gonna go look at it.
They're really, you know, over what 200 episodes, 300 episodes. It's like they're really are not enough, and then it's just so funny how many black people are just there to receive the information from a friend. You know what I mean? Like they're sitting there, and someone talks at them.
There's
they
some
do
nodding.
Not get a line. Mm-hmm. So what do you think they made that day? $1.50. And then the friend goes about their business. And it's like, what? Yeah. But any black person that did get to talk went on to a big career.
Sure. Sherry Shepherd.
Yeah. Sherry Shepherd was on there as someone at the museum. And that was very impressive.
Oh, at the museum. Oh, she was great in that. That's one of my favorite lines. What was she like yells at someone? I shared my pudding cup. It's excellent. It's actually a very memorable moment. I loved her. But I was talking to Sashir and Carla about this the other day because we had an episode air last night where Sashir and I have a kiss and we really tried to think about lesbian relationships that have been on television that were not the butt of the joke. And I could probably, it's probably under 10 that I could count off the top of my head because I immediately thought of Carol from Friends, but her and Susan they had the one moment where they got married and, you know, Ross, I think he walked her down the aisle, but she was just the butt of the joke for so long.
The whole relationship was a joke, and it was always used to be like, Ross
is not manly.
Yeah, like, don't you feel terrible? Yes. Like, always. It was a cudgel.
Yeah, like, you turned her or something. Right. It's really bad. It's dangerous. Well, hopefully we'll do better.
Well, you guys had a tender romance, right? I haven't seen the episode, but you guys, it was like a wedding? Was it a wedding scene?
Yeah, it's a wedding scene. We, the Hayworth family we're pretty rambunctious. So we took over someone else's wedding, essentially.
Gorgeous.
Sashir's character, Denise, who she plays my wife, is making it very clear to me, in the most relationship subtle way, that she really missed out having a wedding and I didn't really want one because of, you know, the patriarchy. And so she subtly says that like she was just unhappy with it and wanted her moment. And so I put on a tablecloth as a wedding dress and I take over the wedding and I decide that we're going to have our first dance. And it's a very sweet moment. It was very fun to shoot. I love working with Sashir, so it was really nice. But it's a tender moment.
Wait, what did the people whose wedding it was, the characters obviously, not the actors, what was their reaction to someone stealing their moment?
Mm-hmm. their reaction was, I believe verbatim, we're never inviting these people to anything ever again.
That's fair.
Something along fair. Those lines.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair and accurate.
That's fair.
Now,
wait,
and,
wait.
Yes,
can I
know. I
want to go back for a second.
You have to go back.
Who were the other? So Carol's relationship was a joke. What are the other? Are there?
Yeah.
Are we talking about like on
network
TV? We're not talking about like the L word or Transparent.
Because I was thinking, there's Transparent, there's Queer as Folk, there's the L word. I don't know about network. I know the Fosters has two moms, but that was on, was that ABC Family or what was it on?
Oh, I know you're talking about. Yeah, I think it was ABC Family.
The CW. Yeah. But I really try to think. I was trying to just think without Googling off the top of my head.
Marissa dates. What is her name? She directed Booksmart.
Olivia Wilde?
Olivia Wilde. Marissa on the OC. Marissa dates Olivia Wilde for a handful of episodes. But again, used as a cudgel to attack Seth's manhood because he used to date Olivia Wilde is bisexual, and he used to date Olivia Wilde. So that and then when Marissa dates her, that relationship is used to call into question Seth's manhood. So again, lesbian relationships on TV are used mostly as a weapon to question
the male. Somehow a lesbian relationship ends up being about a man. How convenient.
Yes. Just making it about them.
It's like, what?
Fun.
There, nothing about this love should be about you. Now,
I think the only other one I could think of was Callie on Grey's Anatomy. That one was actually, that was a good one. Callie and Arizona, which I worked with Arizona. She was lovely. But that's the only one I can think of on Grey's Anatomy. But even that, you know, it started when she was with Arizona, and that was a whole coming out story. So that was also different, which I think is so valuable and has space. But I know so many, especially queer friends who are in this industry, who just want a relationship that is not a coming out story. It is that the coming out has happened. It's not dealing with trauma. It's about just their love. And I think the more that we show, especially, you know, characters like Denise and Sarah, who are just parents who love each other, and it's not about trauma, about hate crimes, about these things that of course have value, but it's like, can we also just show queer love? Yes. Yeah. Some queer joy, some queer love.
Joy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, Caitlin, we will be answering listeners' relationship questions. So, you know, we like to find out, we like to let them know sort of what you're about, where you're at emotionally, where you're at romantically. So what I like to do normally
is go through your entire dating history from junior high school, wherever you started dating on to, now your pre-marriage partner.
Yes, my Rolodex of peeps. Yes.
Sorry, I like to ask, what I like to do is I like to tell people all the things I think about them, and then they can just confirm or deny. That's usually how I get people to tell me
things. I love this. Yes.
So, like, you know, I think of you, Caitlin, as someone who, you know, you grew up in a happy home where people told you were enough. You know, you were very affirmed, and, you know, life is great. Life is great. And I'm not saying you don't get down. I'm not saying you don't have your feelings, but I'm saying you have them, and you go, like, I feel like you cry for a maximum of 12 minutes, and then you shake it off, and then you maybe take a brisk walk, and then you're back on top. What do you think of that?
I would love to be this version that you think that I am. I cannot imagine only crying for 12 minutes. That feels like a warm up. But it is, I definitely grew up in a very happy home. My parents are really wonderful, loving people. I was an only child, so I did a lot of talking to myself, you know? I did a lot of communicating with my dog. I thought that she knows all my secrets. Rest in peace, Cookie. But I did have really horrible, abusive relationships, probably up until Patrick.
Really?
I didn't date a lot of good people. If you're listening, I mean that. they were.
If you're listening, I mean that. I love that. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Not wonderful that it happened, but wonderful to say I mean that. You know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I for a while, I also, like, you know, I dated some actors who were just, like, total narcissists, and I felt so lucky to be there. You know what I mean? Like, oh, just, you're shining your light on me. How fortunate am I? And I hated that looking back. I wish that I could have had a little more balls to walk out. I've stuck things out way longer than I should have, I think, in a lot of cases. Topher actually said that to me. I was telling a story to him while we were on set, and he was like, why did you stay? Like, you should have left the room, even. Like, it's just... which he's correct. But, yeah, so I had a very happy childhood. I did not have great relationships though, up until Patrick. He's probably the best person that I've ever dated, for sure. He's a wonderful man. So I'm lucky that I locked this one down.
What? I got a couple questions. I mean, number one, what was it about these shitheads, if I can say that, that you were attracted to?
I think, if my therapist is listening, she will confirm this. She said to me a while ago, and it was so right on the money, which was, you always seek a relationship out that is similar to maybe one of your parents. Mm-hmm. And my parents are both very good people, but I had a much harder relationship with my mother at the point in which I started dating. And so I think my dad was such a safe place, and my mom was, we just butt heads so intensely. We're really, really close now, but we really butt heads when I was younger. So I don't know what it was exactly. Maybe it was because it was so happy that at times, you know, I felt so loved, which is a wonderful thing, but I also didn't have a ton of room to breathe. Hmm. And so I was seeking people that I would chase that weren't necessarily reciprocating that love that I definitely felt, you know, from my family. And so it was just like a lot of self-destructive behavior when I was dating these narcissists who didn't need me. It was very appealing to me, to chase them, try to fix them, all of the above, which it never works out.
Correct. Correct. It never works out. But at the same time, did you want to ask your second question? Because my question would be sort of what, enabled you to receive love from Patrick. Do you see what I'm saying?
That was going to be my question.
That's thought it might be. Because it's like, you know, when you get someone new, but it's like, you know, if you don't really know what's good for you, you know, the way we are, and like we're used to doing things that are a little sick, a little toxic.
How'd you break the pattern?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, honestly, time. I had experienced so much heartbreak and, you know, emotional, physical abuse from other people that I just met this person that I felt safe with. And in order to really feel like I was growing up, this is so cheesy, but I really had to learn how to be on my own and really just love my own life so that I wasn't looking for someone to come in and make things more exciting. I was really just looking for a partner in a way that I was not when I was younger. Mm-hmm. I was not into relationships for a while. And I think purposefully doing that and distancing myself from wanting that so badly made me then able to receive that love from someone else. He also is his own person, which is really wonderful. We spend quality time together, but we'll drift to, you know, other sides of the apartment or otherwise, especially during the pandemic, and then come back. Mm-hmm. And we still want to be around each other because we have our own interests. And I had this idea that you had to jello yourself into another human being. And it's, I was just totally off track with that. So I think that's it. I also, you know, it took us a while to get together. We were friends first.
Oh, yes, I do.
So I think, yeah. So we started a little dicey. He was dating someone else. Nothing weird happened. nothing dicey happened. But he was dating someone else when we first met, and then we didn't speak for 2 years. And it was to fix his relationship. She did not like my presence. And so
she was not wrong. She
wasn't wrong.
She was not wrong to be like, hang out with her.
She was like, get rid of her, and rightfully so.
Wow.
Was she reading some kind of vibe or something?
She was reading the vibe.
100%. Yeah, I think Listen, she's married. She has a baby. She's perfectly happy. I see her from time to time. We're not besties, but we've been in the same room.
Very different things. We're not besties, but we've been in the same room. We've
existed near each other.
Right. But
we've existed.
The same air. Yeah.
Yes. She may or may not look at me like she wants me to sink into the earth, but that's for, you know, whatever reason. But yeah, we did. We took 2 years apart. And then by the time we came back together, it also took a level of forgiveness, because I mourned that friendship really more than I mourned any relationship that I was in at the time with any man who felt very disposable to me because they weren't treating me well. Mm-hmm. So this one hurt a lot more, losing that friendship. So when we came back together, it was more conversations about just existing together than I had ever had with a man that I was just dating casually. It jumped to being serious very quickly because we already knew each other. So that was, yeah.
But then, like, so then, okay, because basically it was like, hey, my girlfriend doesn't want me to hang out with you. Mm-hmm. Break, like, you know, got to have a clean break.
Well, but, wait, can I, like, how did that conversation
go? Oh, it didn't. He's going to love that I'm talking about this. I asked him right before this. I was like, is there anything that's off limits? And he was like, no, I mean, like, don't tell, like, any weird sex stuff. And I'm like, all right, noted. We didn't have a conversation, so he kind of ghosted me, which took a lot more, and ghosting a friend is a different thing somehow than, you know, ghosting a relationship. It's not good. None of it is good. But honestly, there was something really interesting that my dad said at the time, because I went home and just watched Dancing with the Stars with my parents and ate Klondike bars for like 3 weeks. I was so sad. So I took a bus home to Boston from New York, and, I knew that it was coming. We had had like some sort of conversation about it, but it was really healthy looking back on it. He was super committed to this person who he loved, and he wanted to work it out with her. And I don't hold any grudge for that. Like that, I remember my dad at the time saying, I'm glad that he's working on that. He was like, I'm glad that he's sticking with that person. I think if we had started off in a, you know, weird cheating scenario, it would have totally tainted our whole relationship, but that's not the person that he is. So I'm grateful for that. She found out though at an audition, which was pretty bad.
Wait, what do you mean?
She found out that we tested for the same pilot, and she didn't know that we were dating, and I had just moved to LA, and she found out at the audition. She was like trying to get it out of me, and I really didn't want to say anything because I did not want to fuck up her audition. And after the fact, the receptionist had the juiciest story. She was just like clack clacking on her computer on GChat, like telling people that this was going down. And I just looked over her when this girl left the room to go into our audition, and she was like, that was fucking crazy. I was like, yeah, that was pretty bad.
What I'm imagining, by
is
the
that
way,
Mabel? Please tell me that's Mabel in
yes,
the background.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
What I'm imagining, by the way, is like Janine from Ghostbusters as the receptionist.
Yes, that is exactly right. Yeah, but we're on pleasant terms now. But it was the worst way for her to find out. I did not want her to find out.
But
like
who would even for her? I would be like, why are you like? You got to focus, babe. This is the test.
Yes,
this
read your signs. Read your signs.
This is not the time.
I did that. You know that feeling when you're sitting there, someone's chatting, and you did the.
Yep.
And then you just turn the body and you do a little bit of this. And she just wanted to chat. I think she was like nervous chatting or something. And she kept asking, and she said, are you in touch with him? And I was like, yes. And so, I'm very grateful. Yeah. Literally we touch.
Oh, God.
For the listener, by the way, Caitlin like turned her body like 45 degrees.
Yeah, you know, like, when you want to
give a little shoulder, like
a cold shoulder.
I'm reading these lines.
But in that setting, that is exactly kind of what you do. Like I noticed, not even let alone somebody that you have a tense relationship with anyway. Right. Because even when I see friends in an audition, I'm like, hey, you want to talk or you want to do your thing? Like, let alone somebody where it's like, oh, I kind of don't like you. Like, it would be the last thing you would want to do is be like, so are you in a relationship with him?
Yeah. It was not cute. It was a tense moment. And I had seen her at the producer session walking through the Disney lot, and I hid behind a trailer. So I knew that she was up for the part. But she... she did not know that I was up for the part. So I just did, like, a duck... and she never saw me. But yeah, it was an interesting moment. It was a story for sure. I'm really glad that she's doing well and that we can, as I said, exist. But I hope at some point that we can laugh about that story. We don't chat that much.
Of course, this is Lauren Graham, right? That you're talking about of Gilmore Girls.
And it is Lauren Graham of the Gilmore Girls aforementioned.
What if I hate like when I make a joke and then it turns out like that actually was, and I'm just and I stepped in something.
What do you mean, honey?
I picked someone that I thought was like safe. That like obviously this wasn't Lauren Graham.
Of course,
this person wasn't Lauren Graham.
Correct.
And so I thought it was safe to say that one.
Right.
And then I'm like, am I? And then I started to like sweat for a second. I'm like, wait, what if it was?
It could have been. Right. I guess it could have been. Business.
This isn't crazy. Like it's not. Yeah. But wait. So wait, how did Patrick get back into your life?
That's what I want to know too. Right. 2 years later, the relationship goes. What happens? Are you his first phone call? What's happening?
So, this sounds so cheesy, but his friend Jeff said to him, who's someone that just makes you smile? Like, who could be sort of like almost a palate cleanser after this really terrible breakup? Cause, it was bad. They were together for many years. They loved each other a lot. Their lives were very, you know, they were tangled.
Yeah. And meshed.
Yes. They were meshed. Yeah. And they were meshed. And so we had this playlist together that we started when we were just friends in this show. We were understudies together when we met, and he texted me out of the blue. We hadn't had a text in, you know, you can see like 2 years before. So I was like, hello. And he texted me, Know What I Mean, which was the name of our playlist, is a great LA driving playlist. And I just responded, hello? Question mark.
I'm so glad you did that, Kate.
And I was like, and I said, ghost from my past, do you want to pick up the phone and call me? I feel like this needs an explanation. And he immediately called me like 20 minutes later. He was at a basketball game at the time. So he was sort of huddled in the corner and I could hear the squeaking of shoes in the background. And he just said, yeah, I moved to LA. I was filming, the pilot episode of Maisel at the time, but I was just about to move to LA. So I said, well, I'm done shooting in a couple weeks and I am moving to LA myself. So maybe we can, you know, get a drink. I was dating someone at the time who was another dirtbag, some music producer that I hate even saying that out loud. I shouldn't have even said that he's a music producer. I feel like you think less of me now. But it was a terrible, terrible guy that I was dating at the time. And so I tried to play it pretty cool at first with Patrick. But he was this guy that, like, you know, he made my heart pitter-pat. I knew that it was going to be serious. So I didn't want to jump in too quickly. But yeah, we just... you know, we had a drink or eight at Jay's Bar in Silver Lake and we made out outside. And then I ran into an Uber because I was like, I'm catching feelings real quick. And he was like, are you leaving? And I was already at my Uber and I was like, yeah, see you later. Like it was real quick.
And then you gave the dirtbag his walking papers.
Yeah,
I did, but not for like another 2 months.
What?
I still didn't trust him. I still, you know, I didn't really experience a ton of heartbreak because I didn't like anyone that much for a long time. And so with Patrick, like I was just so scared that he would, you know, just be like deuces on me again.
He would
like,
ghost.
See you later. And so I almost wanted to play it cool and continue to see this person to keep it casual, but he did not care for that. He is he's a monogamous animal. So he did it because he really liked me, but yeah, it took a lot of, he was also just a healthy communicator. So we talked about it and it wasn't weird, which was new for me as well. we're really good at, I think the best advice that someone gave me is approaching something. Actually, it was a friend of ours, approaching something in a relationship at a 2 instead of a 10, like talk to the person when it's at a 2 before it gets to a boiling point, because that's really been the through line of our whole relationship. Even that first night that we sort of saw each other again and rehashed things and just put it all on the table. We still weren't heated about it. We were sort of simultaneously like nostalgic and excited to see each other. So yeah, I think that was how we regained trust, was just by talking about it, as lame as that sounds.
No, that's not lame. We love that here at Couples Therapy Pod.
Yeah.
And also in our real lives.
In our real lives. No, but it's like true. We love to hear it. I will Okay, just really quickly for the inquiring minds, did either of you book that pilot you tested for?
I booked it.
Wow, yeah. wow.
See, okay.
Which also, she actually messaged me. She finally accepted my Facebook request like 2 years later and messaged me and told me that I had the part as my agent was calling me to tell me that I had the part. So she had received the news before me. And so I was looking at her message. I was in Patrick's car with him, and I was looking at the message. And then as I was looking at the message, my agent called me and told me that I got the part.
Okay, there's something going on with her. Okay, like, that's a very strange thing to do, I think, to have, like, reached out.
It's
already being like, are you a Patrick? I want to know this. Like, well, I found out you got it, so I want to tell you you got it? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, her choosing
to
tell you. It's one thing if she was just like, hey, congrats. And another thing is, like, yeah. even that we would have known she wouldn't have meant it. But she just said, hey, like, that's, this is very strange. But
yeah,
I also feel really bad for her.
It was a hey, congrats.
I feel bad for her.
She's honestly super happy. Like, she's with the guy that she dated, like, right after Patrick. They're married. They have a kid. Like, she seems super happy.
But you can always hold that resentment. Because I would be the kind of person, I would be like, see, I told him he liked her.
Yeah.
And he acted like I was crazy. And like I would bring that up for the next 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah, understandably. I mean it's really hard when you feel competitive with a person, you know, as performers, whether it's friends or relationships, that's always a really hard thing to navigate as actors. Any sort of success is just really tricky. So the fact that I got that was not I truly mean this. I was not gloating. I was never going to say a damn thing to her.
Of course.
So, yeah, but I would see her at parties because she's still in Patrick's friend group, and I wish that we could talk more, but I don't think she wants fucking anything to do with me, which is fair.
But also, I'm like, okay, there must be the same type, honey. You see what I'm saying? I'm also thinking you and her are the same type. If you're going in for the test, Patrick is a type.
Yeah. We're pithy brunettes, you know? We got a thing. She's genuinely, I think, one of the funniest stage performers I've ever seen. She's a really a gifted comedian, I do have to say. I would watch her perform when Patrick and I were just friends at UCB, and I would laugh extraordinarily hard. She tested for SNL. She's
okay. We're gonna figure out who she does really well. We're gonna figure out who's off mic.
There's a lot of
off mic, off the record. We're
a lot of
clues
in this.
Yeah.
We're gonna figure it out.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, we're gonna take a break. Find out who this person is, and then we'll be right back to answer some of your advice questions.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, y'all. Let me talk to you for a minute about underwear. Yes, that's what I want to talk about. Now, I don't know about you, but my underwear drawer is the Wild West. I've got 12 different brands, 4 different fits. Half of it ain't comfortable. I don't even know where I got most of them. I open my underwear drawer in the morning and I'm like, what do we have here? And these are items I purchased for myself. How did I let it get so bad? How? Well, I'm telling you right now, I am getting myself together with the help of Me Undies. Now that I felt the buttery soft comfort of Me Undies, they're all I'm reaching for in the underwear drawer. I got the cheeky briefs. This is the ones I bought. The cheeky briefs and a fun tartan plaid print. And I'm addicted.
They're made from sustainably sourced beechwood fiber and have a flexible, no-roll waistband that keeps them in place all day long. Thank you. Comfort and fashion. There are so many undies to choose from all black classics to fun, expressive prints. Me Undies has a look for everyone, and they come in sizes ranging from extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for every body. Thank you, Me Undies, for the range. Me Undies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug. It's breathable, it's stretchy, it's ideal for all day wear. And if you're listening to this right now and you're saying, okay, Naomi, I have enough underwear, well, guess what? Me Undies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. And they even have an activewear collection called Move Me, which is the softest activewear on the market. So get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/therapy. That's MeUndies.com/therapy for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Hey, y'all. Wanted to pop in real quick and let you know that if you like what you hear and you want to support the show, there are a couple different ways.
Most of our support comes from our wonderful Patreon community. For $5 a month, you get 2 bonus episodes of just us mostly spilling the tea and occasionally searching for crazy bread in Los Angeles, plus lots of other bonus content. We love our page pals, and we couldn't do this without you. And if you want to join, go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod.
We also have merch, which includes Gotta Miss a Bitch and Jubu t-shirts, yeah, which you can find in the link tree in our Twitter or Insta bios.
And for absolutely $0, you can rate and review the show on Apple.
5 stars, please. It'll only take 10 seconds, and it helps us tremendously. Okay, that's it. We love you deeply. Now back to the show. And we're back with Caitlin McGee, honey, out here booking and taking a man, okay?
By the way, we lied.
Oh, my God.
We started, we said, we'll be right back, and then we immediately said, we're back. Yeah. You heard a commercial, though,
so. You heard a commercial. Yeah. But...
Just a peek behind the podcast curtain. Caitlin, I feel like we have, I mean, obviously you and Naomi know each other pretty well. But, like, I feel like I understand you a lot better. I feel like our souls are shaking hands right now.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Our friendship has blossomed, if you will. Yeah.
Well, you made the best cookies, you know, Andy.
Oh, my God. That's right. I wanted to. That was so nice of you. When Mabel had her surgery,
I know,
Caitlin made us, not, like, ordered us cookies. She made us cookies.
She baked them.
And they were great. And I felt, I always feel weird about, like, texting someone, especially someone like I'm not, like, that I don't know very well. But I wanted to text you to thank you because they were delicious.
And Andy, I'll also tell you this now on the other side. She did offer to make black and whites. Caitlin can make black and white cookies.
Oh, I did.
But I didn't allow it. But he loves black and white cookies. And so,
I gave many options, and yeah, she picked the chocolate chip. Yeah, that's a classic.
But she could make black and whites, Andy.
But that, not only was it like, were they delicious, but also just like it was such a nice.
A true kindness. I don't know how to take people being kind. Yeah. And then I'm always like, God, should I be nicer and like do stuff for people? Yeah. I'm really not good at things.
Well, also, when it comes to dogs, I think that's a level of compassion. They're like, if anything happened to my child, who I birthed, my dog, I know that I would feel on edge constantly. And that's my love language is baking. Like, yes. I just am like, I don't know how to talk to you about this scary moment, so let me just put a lot of butter and sugar in your face.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, beautiful. It was genuine. Beautiful. Like, it was very touching.
They were so good.
I just don't know how to, like Rhea Butcher, do you see they have new glasses? Mm-mm. They're great glasses. And I want to text them and say, I really like your glasses. And I just felt like we're friends,
yeah,
but like we're not friendly on the level where, yeah, I think I can just text you.
But that's how you get to that level. Mm-hmm. And no one's going to not like a surprise thank you or compliment.
Rhea, if you're listening, I like your glasses. I like your new glasses a lot.
Yeah. You got to know about those glasses. I feel like that's also not just a, hey, how are you? That's a very specific thing. Right. So when you have a specific task to know about, it feels easier to become friendlier. You should do it if you're listening.
There's something vulnerable about giving people compliments. I don't know.
Really?
I need to be in therapy a little longer.
Yeah. No longer.
So we get questions from our listeners over voicemail, over Instagram and Twitter direct message, and also this one. This one came to us at our Gmail account.
CouplesTherapyPod@gmail.com. Mm. Think about it.
From Felicia.
So, okay, we get a name.
So, hello, Felicia. It goes like this. My boyfriend and I have been on and off since last November. There were a lot of issues with dishonesty, him lying about talking to other women, and things of that nature. We broke up last April and got back together towards the end of summer. Since then, things have been better, and we spend a lot of time together at my place. He lives with roommates and doesn't really like to be at his place that much. I have found myself not being able to move past the lies that he told me months beforehand and becoming resentful of the fact that he doesn't attempt to help me around my place since he is here so much. Parentheses, taking out the trash, occasionally paying for dinner, picking up after himself.
Picking up after himself? Sorry, continue.
Is this a grown person? Sorry, yeah, continue.
I think so.
I believe so. Continue.
We don't ever go on dates, and when we do, I pay. I recently found out that he either quit his job or is taking a medical leave of absence. All right, folks. That was... Let me...
Okay.
Let me read. Okay. I recently found out that he either quit his job or is taking a medical leave of absence to work on becoming a full-time video game streamer. He will clearly...
I've never heard so many red flags in one...
This is a true yeah. slalom. There are so many red flags. This is Christo decorating Central Park. There are so many red flags.
Thank you for that one.
Wow.
He will not clearly tell me which one it is. Oh,
so whether it's medical or quit. Okay,
right,
or
okay. quit. He didn't get me anything for Christmas, and I was not invited to attend his family Christmas. Now he says he wants to join the military, but wants to move out of his place into mine to save money until he leaves for basic training. I am apprehensive about this arrangement. Please give some advice. I've addressed these issues many times with him, but nothing changes. Please help.
Is that it?
I'm upset. So I want to hear what you guys have to say first,
and then I will tell you that there is a postscript after I wrote this person back. So...
Really? So should we still give the advice?
I want to hear your thoughts.
Leave
him now.
Felicia.
Absolutely not. Felicia. No.
None of this is right, and you know it, because you wrote it down. You saw it in black and white.
You wrote it all down. You read it back. You need to read that again and just say, I'm not going to just serve this person. That is a taker. That is
a sick taker. I mean, as you said, Caitlin, as somebody who you have dated some chumps, you know what I mean? Tell Felicia that you can get out on the other side of this and find a good person.
You can get out on the other. There is light. There is light at the other end. Listen, like, you are not his landlord. Like, that's ridiculous. You're not supposed to take care of someone to that level and have no reciprocation. That is, you really have to ask yourself when that stuff is happening, when that's all, the list is going on and on, just really take a second and say, what am I getting out of this? And not, he makes me laugh, or like, you know, like, like, he kisses me like we're in a movie. Like, you can't let that shit fly. You need to really think, how is this person a good partner to me? Is this someone that I could build something with? It sounds like the foundation itself is already cracked, so you gotta just fuck this person off. No, thank you.
Absolutely. Also, the other layer of it too. So let's even forget about Christmas present, not being invited, the lies. Let's also talk about the fact that he would not tell you whether he is on a medical leave or quit his job. What is that to keep from somebody you're in a relationship with? He always at your house, taking your food, leaving his dirty drawers, and he can't tell you what he's doing with his job? Felicia, you are also entitled to basic information.
Yes.
Like, what kind of medical leave of absence that you would not know about? Like, is it a broken leg? Is it mental health issue? Like, you need to know.
Oh, it's clearly mental health issues, because you got to think about this too. This would talk about, I'm going to be a video game streamer. And then he said, wait a minute, I'm going to go to military. He is trying to figure a lot out right now. And he is not searching. Need to be the person who is holding the bag while he gets it together.
Can we generalize for a second and say that in relationships, you are entitled to basic information? That
yes.
is,
yes.
There, like, obviously, all relationships are different. Mm-hmm. However, you are entitled, everyone listening, you are entitled to basic information. You are entitled, if this was an interrogation, you are entitled to their name, rank, and serial number, okay? You are entitled to basic information.
This is crazy. Felicia.
Wait.
Can we please hear the update? Yes. I need to know that there's something that could happen here. Yeah.
Let me ask you one question. Were there like certain relationships you were in? You don't have to be specific, but like red flags, like was there a point where in certain relationships there was like a critical mass of red flags? Like what happened in those? Or is there a specific
right,
one?
Right, because you said you were slow to leave. So then I wonder.
Yeah. I think I didn't know really what gaslighting was for quite some time because I was so used to it in relationships. That was something that was a real wake up moment when I really figured out what that was even after the relationship. But especially with the narcissist that I dated, the actors especially who would just put me absolutely last, and realizing that was just not a position that was okay mm-hmm. to be in. Weird jealousy stuff, which was completely unfounded, was always a little strange. But my biggest red flag is always just someone who gaslights and mm-hmm. doesn't find themselves at fault, doesn't know how to talk things through, but just immediately makes it your fault. You're too emotional. You're too whatever. All that jazz.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But also, rings. A man who wears too many rings is a red flag.
Me? That's what I think, Caitlin.
Is that true? Have we talked
we
about
We have
this?
Not. That's how I feel, too.
Wait.
Unless he does close-up magic, he should not be wearing that many rings.
And if he does close-up magic, that's another red flag. I don't want somebody who's too good at tricks.
That's not just
okay?
That's not just a red flag. That's a bunch of red flags tied together that he's pulling
coming
out of
his
mouth.
His mouth. Exactly. That's a handy. A man who is good at trickery by nature?
No.
Absolutely not.
Wait, sorry. Can I ask what's the rings? What's with the rings for you? What does it signify?
I just like...
There's something about it that just feels out of touch. I don't know. It's...
Hey, look at my hands, people.
I know.
On this
plain,
Zoom.
Empty naked. Hands, and it's beautiful. Yeah. That's
they're
I know.
Naked.
There's something about, yeah, I know what you mean. It's like a little too much. It's almost like too many rings is a personality substitute.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I really
hate you're it's the equivalent of a motorcycle, but for your hands. You know? It feels like I have a motorcycle, I wear rings. It's the same.
So I wrote Felicia back when she first wrote, and I asked, when someone writes and if they don't say I want to be anonymous, by the way, if you write in, feel free to say in that first one if you want to be anonymous or not. It will save me from having to write you back. But I asked Felicia, hey, do you want to be anonymous or not? And she writes back with this postscript. Thanks so much for getting back to me. I was honestly just hoping for some personal relief by sending my previous email into the internet void. I'm trying to find the humor in all this. New developments since my last email. I confronted him about being kinda absent after New Year's. A small argument ensued and he left. He texted me 2 hours later saying he wanted to be honest and that he had feelings for someone else and was with her that very day. We are no longer together. Thank God.
Okay.
Felicia, you are better off. Oh my God, I feel like a weight has been lifted.
Yes,
that was really...
But I also say, like, Felicia, though, thank God, I'm glad that that's what you feel. But at the same time, Felicia, you needed to go beforehand. In this one, you still did not put yourself first. You had to kind of wait for him to walk away. Because you made me answer this question, but it's already got resolved. So now I got to give her some new advice, Andrew. It's already been handled. So now I want Felicia
it's
to know.
It's true.
It's just rare.
What is she going to take into the next one?
Exactly.
That's what you need to think about, Felicia. What, you're going to leave before it gets to, like, you know, the hardened oatmeal bowl next to his game or whatever. That's what I'm picturing.
Like, like when he leaves.
You know, the like concrete crust. Oatmeal bowl, the crustiness. That's what I'm picturing man would leave around her apartment.
It's just rare that we get some kind of closure within the same episode.
I know.
I just wanted to give that moment.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take it.
I mean, do you have any do you have any postscript advice?
Yeah, you are not your lover's mother. That's just a fact.
Yes.
That's a fact, okay? So anybody who needs you to do that kind of stuff, and then also, like, I think you really do tell someone something twice. I think after you tell somebody something twice, you done telling it to them. So if you have conversations over and over, especially like with something like you lied to me, or, you know, you don't take me out, you know, very like kind of basic things that I think are easy to address. Basically, cause if you say something's like, hey, you never take me out, or I always pay, or I would like it if you treated me every now and then. If you say that twice and that don't happen, I don't mean twice in the same day. Come on, you got to give somebody a chance. But if you say it like twice and nothing happens,
yeah,
get out of Dodge, Felicia.
Maybe three times.
Felicia.
Takes a little while to change.
I don't know. Maybe the rule of three.
But what's up?
It depends on the level of the note. If it's a note like, hey, don't cheat on me, that's a one.
That's a one.
If it's like, you know, pick up your dirty towel, you get two.
I agree.
But I think there's a sliding scale there. But yeah, you have to also just, I feel like this has been said a lot, but it's just all about self-worth. It's about, you know, treating yourself, treating the other person in a relationship the same way that you want to be treated, yeah. Kindergarten rule. But it's true. If it's not reciprocated, then what are you getting out of it? You really have to ask yourself that. Like, what am I fucking doing here? Someone said to me, I think it was an article actually that they sent me. It's either it's a fuck yes or it's a no. Either someone is enthusiastically with you and is excited to be with you, or it's a no, because there really is no gray area, because someone either has one foot out or they're both feet in. And that's a very easy thing to see in something like what Felicia was experiencing, which was someone that was using her.
Yep.
So there you go. Take that, Felicia, into your next relationship.
Oof. All right. Why don't we do a voicemail?
I love voicemails, you guys. As always, you can call us at 323-524-7839. You do have to cap your voicemails at 3 minutes because you will get cut off. But I love it. I love hearing your voice because it lets me know how emotional you are in this moment, how dark it is for you.
By the way, this one has a PS as well, but...
Wait, has it already been answered, Andy?
No, I'll play the PS.
Oh, no.
Hold on. Let me just play this, and I'll play the PS. We'll take a moment, and then I'll play the PS right afterwards, okay? All right.
Andy, Naomi, long-time listener, first-time caller here. I am struggling with a minor conundrum. It has become less severe since COVID has hit, and people aren't, you know, doing the social outings and stuff because, you know, we're out here trying to be responsible or whatever. But in the before time, I have like a handful of friends who I like to go hang out with and occasionally like to talk on the phone with now in the before time. And they're just like always high when I call them. Like, I know that they are out here like smoking the devil's lettuce or whatever before we hang out. And I'm just like, every time, must you? Like, I get it. It's fun. Do it. Live your life. But also, like, it's really hard to have a conversation with someone when you are the person who's sober and this person is just, like, in space while you're trying to hang out with them. So, like, how do I broach that subject with them? Because I, like, still want to be friends with them and I still want to hang out with them in the after time. But, like, how do I bring that up? How do I navigate that? Please advise. Love you so much. Thank you for the show. It's such a gift, especially during the pando. Much appreciation. Also, Naomi, shout out. Got to see you live with JVN on tour. Thank you for that gift to my life. I appreciate you both very much. I hope you're having a lovely day. Goodbye.
I love.
Okay.
I love that.
And now, here's the postscript.
Hello again. It's me. It occurs to me that I did not be entirely inclusive in my last one. So hello, Andy, Naomi, and esteemed guest of Andy and Naomi. So if you want to like toss that in at the intro, that would be great. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Oh, big fan of that person. I would listen to them have a podcast. That was very fun.
The Devil's Lettuce. I never heard that before. Yeah.
Oh my god, I love that. I don't think I've heard that.
Devil's lettuce. Okay, so friends who are always high, basically, and how...
How do you broach the subject with them? I'm trying to think.
I mean, yeah, because you're a sober man.
Well, so in the sense that I don't like. I'm not
right. Oh, yeah, not like in recovery, but like not. A teetotaler?
Yeah, I'm a teetotaler. I don't like the taste of alcohol, and I'm scared to do drugs, so...
That's fair.
But I have, I don't judge other people. So whatever they want to do, but like, I've been scared of like friends who do like hard drugs and I just like stay away from them then. Cause it scares me.
Yeah.
But like my friends who, I was about to say do pot. I have,
that's how much of a teacher.
Oh my God. Reverend Andy.
I want, like, in case they don't want their names in public, but I have like a very good friend who like has been my friend for decades.
Yeah.
Who likes getting high. And I don't know, but when we hang out and he's high, he doesn't seem that much of a different person. So that's what, like we still talk about movies and music, regardless of how much THC is coursing through his system.
THC. For you to just like say it. Oh, I think it's a shame.
Caitlin, you obviously, you.
Yes.
You said earlier.
You partake of the devil's lettuce.
You partake of the devil's
lettuce. I partake. I don't even remember saying, oh, yes, I took an edible. Yeah, I partake. I think that's a tricky conversation because talking about how people cope, I don't know if it's how her friends are coping or not. I have had friends, though, that I had to talk to about like harder drug stuff. So I've... You know, especially because I was a waitress in New York, so I feel like, what didn't I see? You know, you saw a variety of things. And I think that conversation just has to come down to how close you are with those people. And it's also, like you said, how you can communicate with them when they're stoned, because I have certain friends that I can't even tell anymore. Like, I remember I went to a flea market and halfway through my friend was just like, oh God, I'm way too high to carry this coffee table. And I was like, you're stoned? I was like, when did that happen? And so some people I really can't tell the difference. They're very, high functioning. It's like going to brunch, for them and like having a mimosa. And then others, it sounds like this is debilitating the relationship. Mm. Like when she calls them, it's hard to communicate. So I say, depending on the closeness, just have a conversation and just say, hey, when can I call you? Can we hang out? That's not, so you're not telling them how to live their lives, but it's still navigating to when you can be with them sober.
Like, yeah, I would, I mean, if there's a way to make it a joke, because my gut reaction is something like with something like that, like if I talk to them, like, I'd be like, are you high again on the devil's lettuce? When can I talk to you? When can I, like, you know, and I would just kind of make it almost like a thing. And then that high, because I noticed for me, I don't like being around high people for the most part, because, again, the people who are normal, because it's funny, because I have a friend where she was talking about smoking weed, and I go, you smoke weed? And I was like, I've never seen you high. And she's like, yeah, you have. And I was like, oh, okay, well, then it's fine. But, but like, people where normally I don't like being around high people because I talk really fast, and I'm like, when I'm kind of socializing, high people are not here with me. So I'm talking, and they're just like, huh. Like, I remember being in a room, we like walked into some room, maybe at UCB here, like, we like, it was like a green room, people hanging out, and I come in and I'm talking and like no one's talking to me and they're like looking weird, and I was like, did I do something? Like, what's the vibe? And then I find out like the next day, it was like, oh no, we were all high. And it was like, oh, that's what it was. Like, I don't like that feeling either. Like, you're all doing something and I'm not. I'm not on the planet you're on.
Also, their internal monologue was probably, oh my God, she knows I'm high. Oh my God, she knows I'm high. Oh my God, am I sweating? Like, it was probably something along the lines of just make sure that your eyes don't droop or something. Like, I don't like being around sober people when I'm stoned. I like to just like play, you know, Mario Kart and hang out on my own. So I don't know. I don't know how people socialize and go out into the world. That's not my jam. I'm a grandma stoner. You know what I mean? I like my weighted blanket, a comfortable chair. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. You like to chow down on Satan's salad and then turn on the switch.
Yes.
Satan's salad. That's good. That's another good one. We got to use that one.
I like that. Yeah, that's
when
good.
You do pot on that Satan salad, says Andy Bachman.
Yeah. I mean, it is funny. Like, we do know a lot of high-functioning people who smoke. Like, Alana.
High-functioning.
Alana smokes pot. Yes. And she's winning the world.
She's literally winning life. Alana Glazer, like, I remember when the time we were talking, and she goes, Nay, I just want to let you know, just so you know, I'm high right now. She's like, but I'm doing my laundry. Like, for her, high is just, like, a kind of baseline, kind of just lets her sort of take the edge off. Then it was like, oh, okay, you know, and it was also nice of her to tell me in advance, obviously, of the phone call. I remember that happening. Yeah. I was like, oh, she's so herself. And I was like,
yeah,
you literally have your own television program. How are you doing this? Hi. But some people got it, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I like your guys' advice. Like, yeah, have a conversation about, like,
and keep it light.
Yeah.
And also, it's true. Yeah. I think also, too, it also might be a conversation for after, because I definitely think that a lot of us are doing a little more of things that we shouldn't be doing in the pandemic, in the Panda Express, if you will.
Eating potato chips, yes. Every night, yes.
Potato chips, yes that's potato happening. Chips.
Yeah.
You're doing potato chips.
I understand. Have you dipped potato chips into Nutella yet? Because that's a level I reached during the pandemic that I didn't know I had in me.
Wow.
What?
Oh, come on, baby.
Dipping potato chips, like, no. Like just a dip. Yeah,
sweet chocolate.
Into Nutella.
Kayla, no, I don't need that. I don't need. Why are you doing this to me? I don't need a new thing.
I just want to inspire you. No. I just want to give you.
I did
something.
Pretzels and Nutella, okay. and that's the farthest I will go because.
Okay.
Look, this saved me the last 4 months. December, I descended into a new phase of Quar, which was just like it was Tartarus. I was just in the depths. Of Greek hell, and just like trying to find, I was Orpheus, and just trying to get. Okay. At night, what I did was I got a little bowl, I put some potato chips, and I put some pretzels in it, and I sat and watched the OC, and I would have 2 chips per pretzel. Okay, that's the ratio, and then the chips ran out, and I started dipping pretzels in Nutella. But I can't do, it's too much. The chips and the Nutella is too much. I don't have your exercise regimen.
Right.
I can't, or your metabolism. Right. I can't. And now it's going to haunt me. You have said this to me.
I'm so sorry. I really.
It will be 11 p.m. tonight. And my brain will be like, you know, there's one bag of chips left. And there's a new thing in Nutella in the cabinet. You should do this.
But
and
you then, could do. Very minimal dipping, just a little boop.
Well, I was going to say, actually, because baby. We share this Nutella, no dipping in my house. You scoop it out, put it on a little plate, honey, and then you can dip all. I don't want to find no chip bits in my Nutella.
It's going to be 11.
Yeah, you can't have that.
And my brain just, it'll just keep hitting me in the head with that thought.
Yeah. It's interesting. You sound like a stoner, because that's where my brain goes after Gilmore Girls. And I'm just standing in front of the freezer just being like, do I eat all these dumplings? They're frozen now, but in 5 minutes, they could be mine.
Well, I've seen you. You will take ice cream. I've seen you put pretzels on ice cream.
Yes.
Like vanilla ice cream, pretzel, and then a little bit of the drizzle, the chocolate syrup.
Yes.
And that's like his like.
Yes, this is why I don't smoke pot, because I already am in that kind of state. All the time.
No, mm-hmm. You could really use a damn mellowing out.
What do you mean I can use mellowing out? What are you talking about?
Oh, good God. Now, Caitlin, do you by any chance have time for one more cue?
Yes, I do. Go ahead. I've locked my fiance and my dog in the office, so we got time.
Ooh. All right.
Okay, great. We have another voicemail, my fave.
Another voicemail.
Yeah, I like these.
Hi, Andy and Naomi. I have a question for you. So, I've been friends with this guy off and on for a couple of years, and last year, he and I started going on a few dates, and they were great. He was very funny, made me laugh really hard, was great conversation over text, but then a few dates into it, he started wanting to hold my hand, wanting to, you know, kiss and stuff, and it was really off-putting to me. And so, we kind of had a conversation when, on a date, like a third date, he and I had a conversation about why I was not really interested in him. And it caused a huge, huge rift between us. We really stopped talking after that point. But the problem he's just like really cool, and I like honestly almost everything about him. His mom is a radical feminist. She marches at like huge marches downtown and does a lot of social work, and he's a cool marketing professional for an art museum downtown, and so he's just a really cool guy. But the problem is, I'm just not attracted to him, and recently we started talking again, and I don't know what to do. Should I just push past my lack of attraction for hopefully one day I'll be attracted to him, or is this just a friendship? I don't know. Whatever advice you could give me would help. Thanks.
You say he's just a friend. And you say he's just a friend because he's a friend.
I need you.
This your friend.
Yeah.
That's your friend. You just listed a really great reason to be friends with someone. Like, those were all really good reasons to have that person in your life. But it sounds like you got the ick. Like, you don't. If you recoil at someone's touch, that's just a.
Yeah.
That's a chemistry thing. There really is a chemistry thing that you need to have. And listing all the reasons why someone is amazing on paper, their mom sounds amazing. I'd like to hang out with her for sure. But yeah, you gotta have that sparkle, that the sparks, fireworks in your belly when the person touches you. So
yeah.
Yeah. I think there's this pop culture, like rom-com-y thing that has infected all of our brains in some way, where you think like, it's like, well, what if we just like, okay, I'm not attracted to this person. We have absolutely no chemistry, but what if we get into a relationship and like a couple years down the line, you know, because we're such good friends, eventually the sparks will ignite.
Well, right. It's true, because rom-coms, you know, are so similar, so much about, you know, someone who doesn't respect boundaries eventually getting their way. And so,
yes.
Exactly, where you're like, well, I don't like him. I don't like, well, then maybe one day we'll just get caught in the rain and then I'll feel a feeling, right? Which is like how all that works. Yeah. And you're like, no, that is not it. And I think like, you know, especially when you said the moment you said, you were like, he wanted to hold my hand and kiss me. And I found it very off-putting. I was like, Jesus, you do not like him. I was like,
yeah,
you don't. But then you were like, oh yeah, it caused a rift between us and we didn't talk. So what I think you're dealing with, right, is like, you don't want to lose him. Mm-hmm. And so, and the thing is, I don't blame him for walking away. If he has feelings for you and you're not reciprocating, he's got to kind of go away and nurse his wounds and make sure he's, you know, taking care of his emotions. So I think, you know, you have to be honest with him and you have to be willing to accept that he may not want to just be friends, but you got to give him that mm-hmm. choice. You can't kind of string him along or seem kind of flirty or whatever, just so you can hang out with him and his mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't string him along. He deserves, you know, boundaries as well, which he might not be. You have to know that going into that conversation, he might want to walk away and you might lose him, but that's better than potentially dragging this out for longer, which would hurt this person that you care about. So you don't want that either.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can always get him. Like, I think when you end stuff in a nice way, you leave that room to actually be friends, you know, to run into mm-hmm. them at an audition and just get into it.
I pray to God that she doesn't listen to this, but if she does, let's talk. Just kidding. Let's not.
I think it's interesting how like there's on one end of the spectrum, there are just people who it's purely chemistry. And they spin apart after a bit. And on the other end, there are people who are like, well, we have a lot in common, but I'm revolted by their touch. And they fall apart. And there has to be, folks, this is just what it is to be human. This is irreducible. There has to be some mixture of interests and chemistry. All right. There has to be some mixture. I'm not standing here saying what that mixture has to be. I don't think there's a has to, but there has to be a mixture.
Right, right, right. We don't, it doesn't even have to be 50-50.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What you're
exactly.
Right, right, right.
Right. One, you could have more chemistry than you could have interests in common.
Mm-hmm. Right.
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 Right. Like, what are we, Naomi? What are we, 50-50?
Not even, because I was thinking, like, we don't like a lot of the same stuff.
Yes, but we hate a lot of the same stuff.
We hate a lot of the same stuff. And that's very, that's binding. That's a real bond we have. But it's not like, you know, but it's like literally when Andy is, dry, like, he, like, puts his iPod, what do you call it?
iPhone?
Yeah. When he puts his iPhone on shuffle in the car, you know, and I'm always just like, next, next, next. Like, don't.
Sure.
You know, but stuff like that or like, you know, I'm like very loud and like to judge people and you would like me to be quiet.
Well, actually, I mean, I do love that though.
Yeah, but you're always like, shh. Too
well,
loud.
Right, because I don't want them to hear it. I don't want the person to hear it. But I do love it.
But I'm like, there's like different things. But I was like, but yeah, you have to, kind of know. Like, I thought you were cute when
yeah.
I saw you.
Oh,
so I was
yeah,
like, okay.
Same thing. Same
I was
thing.
Like, I remember because I was like nervous that you were shorter than me. I was like nervous about that. But then I was like, he's cute.
Yeah,
and
which
then
is
I was
true,
like,
I am.
Which is true.
It's just like, it was like, when I first saw you, it was a combination of like, oh, she's really funny and oh, she's really pretty. Okay. And 11 years later, same thing.
Oh, snap.
Hey.
Yeah, you guys are friends.
Yeah,
it
has
you
to be a combo.
It's got to be a combo.
Yeah, you have to. Also, I remember someone saying to another friend of mine who was in a relationship that was, it felt more like roommates, was you don't want to hold another person's sex life hostage either. Like if you're in a relationship that feels more like roommates, then like if you're not, you know, attracted to them, then and they're monogamous to you, that's just a really, that's a hard scenario to be in.
Yeah.
No, that's so good. No, you're right. That's a very good way to put it. Holding someone's sex life hostage.
Who was that friend, Dan Savage?
How'd you know? It was actually Lauren Graham.
Okay, we got to end on a callback. So.
We love it. Oh, Caitlin, thank you so much for coming and visiting us. It was so wonderful.
Thank you. This was such a delight. Yes, give my best to Mabel.
Absolutely. You were, honestly, you did your first solo podcast perfectly.
Oh my God, you guys popped my cherry. This was so nice.
A+. So I'm giving this.
A+.
A+.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.